And as we remain standing, let me read to you our scripture text this morning. Because it is a longer passage, I'd ask that you just listen to the words today as we read from God's Word. And we're reading from 1 Peter. We're beginning a series of messages today in the book of 1 Peter. It's a great, great study. And if I can find it, we'll be all set here. Here we are. That's what happens when your Bible gets older. All right, here we are. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And reading the first 12 verses. And I encourage you to, if you have a Bible, to take it out this morning and follow along, because we're going to be studying together some very important passages of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that could never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing them when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. You may be seated. This morning I am beginning a series of messages from the book of 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter is an amazing book. We're hoping to be doing this study, involved in this study, up until just before Easter, which is not that far away. Easter is the middle of April this year. And so we're going to be spending a lot of time in this book because it really is a very timely study for the days in which we are living in. The great thing about doing a book of the Bible is the fact that, you know, you're not going to be wondering what I'm going to be preaching the next week, because we're going to be looking at this particular study. But the wonderful fact is that we're going to be looking at some very practical aspects of living out our faith in these perilous days. And I don't need to tell you that we are living in perilous days. I don't need to tell you this morning that we are under attack. I don't need to tell you this morning that these are very critical days and this is a very critical time for us to live. The wonderful reality about the Bible is that it is God's action plan for all of us. It is truth. It is God's love letter to us so that we will understand the mind of God for our everyday living. I don't know about you, but I need guidance and I need help and I need God's truth instilled in my soul, in my heart. Peter was a great guy. He was a guy that had foot and mouth disease, for one thing. He always stuck his foot in his mouth. He always got himself into trouble by what he said. And I'm sure if he were to do any tweeting, he would probably get himself into a lot of pickles. And he would probably get himself right over his head in things that he used to say and the things that would get him in trouble. And so Peter is a guy that knew what it was to undergo trials, afflictions, troubles. He knew what it was to be under persecution. He knew what it was to be under the gun, if you will. And so we're going to be sort of sifting through these great truths of Scripture, helping us to understand how we are to address the burdens that we're facing in this world, and how we are to confront by faith what comes down the pike in the days ahead. I believe that we're going to be facing some very difficult times in the days ahead. I don't know about you. In fact, the Bible promises us that we will. He says, you will face persecutions. And the Bible says that we are to be ready for that. We are to be expecting that because it's going to come, whether we like it or not. And it's how we prepare ourselves for that. It's how we ready our mind, our heart, our spiritual nature, and how we confront the future and what's ahead. I'm sure if anyone were to ask you what your favorite book of the Bible was, you may come up with a book like Psalms, maybe John, maybe Proverbs, maybe Philippians, maybe Romans, I don't know. It's not often one chooses 1 Peter as their favorite, and that's not surprising, because 1 Peter deals with some topics that don't always grab our attention, that don't always catch us where we're at. In fact, since 1 Peter was written for disenfranchised people who were facing harsh persecution, some people say this book has only limited relevance, only applicable perhaps to the West, to those in the Western world who live, and not applicable, I should say, to those of us who live in America, who live, you know, most of the time under peaceful and comforting situations. But today, I want us to begin this series from 1 Peter, and you'll notice that in your bulletin, it says, encouraged, with the word I-N, encouraged. That's not a typo. It's there by choice because I'm going to be helping you understand what that means later on. So be prepared and stay tuned. As we go through this book, you'll apply the lessons from 1 Peter to your life. And I'm trusting that God will give us a new boldness for our faith, that God will give us a new strength in our daily walk, and that, most of all, God will give us the courage to face the challenges that are coming our way. There's going to be some challenges, and I believe that God has some advice for us here. And so I'm asking you this morning to buckle your safety belt, to harness up, if you will, because we're in for a ride, and I believe God wants us to understand some truths that are heaven-sent that will apply to our lives for the critical days that we're about to face. With that said, Peter begins this letter by talking about these challenges. Now, these are challenges, many of them we don't understand. We perhaps have no idea what it is to live under persecution. We have no idea what it is to live under very, very opposing circumstances and opposing situations. I might tell you right now that his message is for believers. His message is for you this morning if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a message that God wants us to know, and the fact that we have, I might say it in a different way, an unfair advantage in facing trials. You and I have an unfair advantage in facing difficult times. If you've been born by the Spirit of God, and we call that being born again, if you are born again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have an unfair advantage. You have an advantage that no one else has in this world, an unfair advantage to approach your problems, to approach your situations, to approach your difficulties in a whole different way than anybody else can face them. Peter tells us that there are certain privileges about being born again. We know that's a wonderful thing, right? We know it's amazing that God would take you and me as believers, that he would touch our hearts and he'd put his Spirit within us. That in itself is a miracle. That in itself is an amazing thing. So we have an unfair advantage. And Peter tells us that we have amazing privileges, that you are blessed. In fact, later on he says, you are part of a royal priesthood. You're part of that. You have something that no one else has. That you are blessed beyond every blessing. And so today I want us to look at three of those privileges. So buckle up. Here is what God says about you today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. This is why I want you to be encouraged. I-N-C-O-U-R. How do you spell it? There you go. Encouraged. Not encouraged, encouraged. I want you to be encouraged so that you will have courage. Right? That's what God wants us to do. First thing I want you to know, and what Peter is telling us here, is that you and I can be encouraged by realizing that we are people who have a life filled with wonderful expectations. We have wonderful expectations as we read God's Word, as we see what God says to us, as we open ourselves and allow ourselves to be open to the Holy Spirit. In verse number 3, this is why I want you to have your Bible open, because we're going to be searching the Scriptures. And if you don't bring your Bible to church, I want to encourage you to start bringing your Bible to church. You ought to be here. It ought to be stuck to you. Okay, it is God's word. It's our roadmap, and this is what 1 Peter says, verse number 3. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, this is what He's done. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope." Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Another translation says this, that all honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by His boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation. Now what is that wonderful expectation? What is that expectation? Why do we have this expectation? The answer is given to us here in verse 3. It's because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. That's our expectation. That's Easter. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of Christianity. That's the message that you and I have as believers in God, in Christ. And there is nothing in this world that can take that away from us. Amen. There is absolutely nothing that can put out the light of Christ in your heart and in your soul because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Oh, man. Oh, boy. This gets me excited. You see, if Jesus has the power over death, This is the hard part, though. If Jesus has the power over death, he also has the power over your life. He has the power over your life. If he can conquer the greatest of enemies, if he can conquer Satan and the devil himself, he can certainly conquer the challenges that you face day by day and the challenges that I face day by day. This is what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. And we are studying the book of Romans in our adult discipleship class on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, for any of you who might be interested. In verse 11, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, write this down, even turn to it. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He lives in you. And just as he raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. If he lives within you, this is what happens, folks. This is the privilege that you have. You see, the resurrection of Jesus proves that he has power over death. The resurrection proves that he has power over sin. And if he has the power over death, he has power over your life. He has that power. And because of this, we live with a wonderful expectation for the future. The future is nothing but bright when your mind is fixed on this. Forget about what's happening in Washington. Forget about what's happening in other parts of the world. Forget about what's happening down the road, or over the hill, or across the veil. Forget about it. This is what's yours, that you have a wonderful future to look forward to. This expectation is not based on the performance of the Dow Jones Industrial Averages, or the outcome of any election, or anything like that. It's based on the assurance that Jesus Christ is Lord, and has the power over sin, has the power over death. That's what it's based on. A wonderful expectation. And this is an expectation of hope. Another word for it is optimism. That's why I believe that Christians ought to be the most optimistic people on the face of the earth. There's nothing that gets me a little bit riled up is to see people who are looking grouchy all the time. We ought not to be pessimistic. I actually had one person told me once that they had the spiritual gift of pessimism. And I don't see that in the Bible. We ought to be the most optimistic people on the face of the earth. We ought to be. In fact, more than anything else, we have an obligation to be optimistic. And if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then optimism is our only option, because we are called to be a people of hope. Melvin Evans said this, that the men who build the future are those who know the greater things are yet to come. Their minds are illumined by the blazing sun of hope. So we ought to be optimistic, right? Peter talks about that. Right here. He talks about, regardless of how tomorrow looks, and regardless how the world may look right now, or your situation may look right now, the best is yet to come. Peter tells us, in fact, this is indeed our inheritance. It is a priceless inheritance, he says. It's kept in heaven for you. Verses 4 and 5. Kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, and just out of the reach of decay. I like how that's put. Can't be changed by decay. He doesn't say much more about this inheritance. He doesn't describe it in detail because it can't be described. Anybody ever tried to describe heaven to you? Anybody ever tried to describe, you know, what's waiting for you? can't be described. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our ability to think. It's beyond our imagination. He says this in verse 10. This salvation was something the prophets wanted to know more about. They prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you, even though they had many questions as to what it would all mean. That's from the Living Bible translation. It's an amazing thought. Verse 13 goes on to say that these are things into which the angels long to look. They really are. Peter is saying that our inheritance is more than just the fact that we will live for eternity, because our inheritance is measured by more than the quality of time. Our inheritance is measured more than just streets of gold or anything else. It's measured by the quality of experience beyond our ability to imagine. There's a song written, "You Can Only Imagine." You can only imagine. You can't imagine. I mean, it's just beyond imagination. Paul says, he comes kind of close to it in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, where Paul says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." That's pretty powerful. Now, I keep watching that no one has some Gatorade behind me here. They're going to throw over me. Because this is something that ought to be exciting. This is something that ought to motivate us. We have a wonderful expectation for the future. Not only the future as it will be experienced in this life, but the future as it will be experienced in all of eternity. I didn't say that. God says it. This is what God says about you and me if we know Jesus Christ. But there's a second thing here. And Paul talks about, or Peter rather, talks about problems. You knew this was going to come up. Problems with a point, I guess you can call it. Let me ask you this question. Who here has never had a problem? No hands coming up. Every single one of us have had problems. And 1 Peter is a book about hard times. 1 Peter is a book that talks a lot about suffering. 1 Peter is a book that talks a lot about persecution, if you will. Not just physical pain, but emotional pain. About every kind of pain. About every kind of problem you can imagine. Now, some believers experience persecution. There are parts of this world today where if you were to stand on a street corner and announce you were a Christian, you'd be beheaded. You'd be slaughtered. You'd be mowed down. You'd be killed. Right on the spot. No questions asked. No judge, no jury, nothing. There are parts of this world today, if you were to announce that, your life would be at risk. However, most Christians throughout the world don't experience this degree of persecution. Most Christians are able to live their faith openly, and while we may be sometimes subject to ridicule and sometimes subject to being made fun of and everything else, let's face it, we're really comfortable in where we are for the most part. We really don't face a constant threat of violence. I do see that changing, though, in America, and I'm very concerned about it. That's why we need to study 1 Peter right now. We'll talk more about persecution in the coming weeks, but our focus today is a little bit broader. Peter refers to the many trials that we have to endure. The many trials. In the Greek, the phrase is many colored. That's what it literally means in the Greek language, which simply means that there's all kinds of trials, trials of every shape, trials of every size, big problems, little problems, serious problems, insignificant problems, painful problems, annoying problems, every size, every imaginable size. That's what he's talking about. And he's talking about not only persecution, but health problems. He's talking about relationship problems. He's talking about job problems. He's talking about money problems, and on and on and on. That all believers deal with this. It's part of life. It's part of breathing air, if you will. But here's what I want you to notice. That our problems are not without meaning. They're not without meaning. They serve us in a special way. You know that your problems can be for your good. They can be for your benefit. Our problems have a point to them. And so this is what Peter says. Now look down in your Bible at verse number 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is the point right here. This is the point that Peter wants to draw to our attention. He says, these problems, these trials, are only to test your faith. Okay, yeah, we agree with that. You know, some would say, well, my faith is tested a lot then, if that's the case. These problems are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire. Look, can you imagine this? As fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. You know how precious gold is? What is it, $1,600 an ounce? Can you imagine? $1,600 an ounce for gold? Well, God says you're more precious than that. God says you are far more precious than that, that you are more worthy than that. Now, this is an important distinction to make about the test of your faith right here. And if you look at the scriptures, you ask the question, well, who is the test for? Is it for God? Is he doesn't know how sincere your faith really is? Is it for him? Is that what it's about? The test is for you. It's for you. It's so that your faith, as it's being refined, will be much purer than gold. It's that your faith will be stronger. It's that your faith will be all that it needs to be for the glory of God. You see, let me give you an example. Remember a few years ago, you know, sometimes we like to complain, moan, and groan. I was on a mission trip to Honduras, you know, and went into a community. Our goal, we were working with Compassion International to begin a school for about 500 students in a little village called Don Lee, Honduras, which is in the western part of Honduras, bordering the nation of Nicaragua. Anyway, the part of that arrangements was that, you know, I paid my own room, and I wanted a room with a shower. I do not like sticky temperatures. I don't like hot weather. I don't like muggy weather. That's why I love January sometimes, unless it gets too long. But anyway, my shower did not work because the hot water heater broke. And so I waited a couple of days thinking, well, they're probably going to get it fixed. So on the third day, I started complaining. And I said, look, I need a shower. I just can't live down here, not have a shower. And so 5 days went by, and that shower was not fixed. And so one of the buddies I was with, he heard me ranting and raving about it and complaining about it and everything else. And I said, you know, you tell the man that's in charge, I want this shower fixed today. Now. Well, after I told him that, I looked up. I was in the bathroom and looked, and I saw a humongous big spider, about this wide, crawling across the side of the shower. That really got me excited. And my point is this, that, you know, I was complaining, and I thought I was going through persecution right then, because it was bad. And you didn't want to smell me at that point. And he told me the landlord is doing all he can, and that he was very sorry I was inconvenienced. And my buddy said something to me I'll always remember. He said, "Here is your chance to act like a Christian." Wow, did that ever hit me between the eyes. Here's your chance to act like a Christian. This is your chance. This is your chance right now to act like a Christian. God kind of humbled me. Act like a Christian? You know, I travel all the way to Honduras. I spent a lot of money on that mission trip to help people hear about Jesus. Isn't that acting Christian enough? Nope. My attitude was not a very good attitude as a result of that terrible broken shower. I was put in my place. I was brought down to where I needed to be. And I learned a very important lesson right then. You see, that hot water episode tested my faith and showed me where it was lacking. And I guess that's what a test does, right? It tests your faith to show you where you're strong, where you're weak. And Peter goes on to say, so that your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you to much praise and glory. It'll bring you on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world, he says. It'll bring him much praise and glory and honor. Peter's saying that we will receive glory and praise on that day. Is that what he's saying? Exactly, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. If anyone knows what he's talking about on this subject, it's Peter. He had fallen, he'd been corrected, he'd been restored. Peter went through a mess of problems and he had been praised by Jesus. He knew Jesus. He had a personal relationship with Jesus. And he knew that Jesus was one to challenge others, to correct others, to encourage others, and when appropriate, to praise others. And so, every time you go through the fire, I don't know what your fire is today. I don't know what you're going through right now. But every time you pass through the test, Jesus is there on the other side waiting to say, "Good job. Well done." That's what he's there for. That's what he wants to say to you. And here's the final privilege we have right here about being born again. And that is God's protection. God's protection. I don't know if it's you, but I'm sensing the need for God's protection right now. I'm sensing the need for protection in this very hostile world right now, in this country right now. And this is what Peter says in verse 5. Look at verse 5. "In God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation because you're trusting him." Now, the point is, we say God protects us, but do we take God's protection for granted? I believe we do. I believe we do. God is protecting you even though you may not realize it, even though you may not understand it. You see, when Peter refers to this salvation, he's not talking about receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because that's already happened. He's talking about our ultimate salvation. He's talking about seeing him face to face when we're forever changed into his likeness. That's what he's talking about. God in his mighty power will protect you. And no matter what happens across this country and this nation right now, I believe that God is going to protect his people. I believe that. No matter what takes place, God's going to protect us. if you're one of his children. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you could be in trouble. And I'll say that from a heart of compassion right now. It really will help you to come to know him as your Lord and Savior. It really will, because he says he will protect you. We're going to talk about that later on as we get going. But right now, I just want to encourage you this morning to read this passage again and be so certain of God's privileges. Oh, what a wonderful privilege we have. What an amazing privilege it's ours. We have those privileges. We have problems. But yet we have God's provision. We have his provision. And his provision is given to us in Christ Jesus. His provision is given to us in the forgiveness of sin. His provision is given to us when Jesus died on the cross for your sin to give you eternal life. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message of the gospel. And I hope we'll fall in love with that message over and over again as we grow in the grace and the likeness of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, remind us again, we pray, of the wonderful privilege we have to have courage, to have you in our hearts. And the wonderful privilege and joy it is to know the fullness of that grace that's been given to us. Father, help us, we pray. Lord, take our hand. Hold our hand tightly in the days to come, that we might know your presence, that we might know your love. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to